1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we will be taking communion at the end of the service. So if you're a part of our online campus, I encourage you to grab something that you can use for communion. And there's probably quite a few of you who will instantly know the subject, at least, of my message this morning, simply based upon this specific chapter in the Bible. What is today? Yeah, Valentine's Day. Tell somebody next year, happy Valentine's Day. Online campus, happy Valentine's Day. Type that in the comments, comments there. What, Valentine's Day, it comes once a year, right? I'm not sure if I ever remember a Valentine's Day happening on Sunday morning. And some of you really spiritual religious, I know you are equating coming to church or streaming today as your Valentine's Day date. So good job for you. That's okay. But it's Valentine's Day, and we like to give gifts at Valentine's Day, right? How many like to give gifts? A few of you. How many like to get gifts or receive gifts? Yeah. Most of you. Well, guess what? The Open Door has a Valentine's gift for everyone that's a part of our church, okay? You will be getting a text this week regarding a website called Right Now Media. Right Now Media. And you can even Google it and check it out right now. Go online, rightnowmedia.com. What this is, it is the Netflix of Bible study. Happy Valentine's Day, Open Door. There you go. All right. That's good. We'll have a little Valentine's Day gift for everyone. My Valentine isn't even here today. She's over in New Mexico visiting Kyler and visiting her family. And Megan and Tegan flew out Thursday. And Kalea has been spending the time with the Tonys. And so I guess today I'm going to have to do Carrabba's to go and go home and watch Daytona 500 for my Valentine's Day. It's all right. Happy Valentine's Day, Megan, if you're watching. All right. But anyway, so what's so special about Valentine's Day? What's it all about? Mr. Flegenger said it. Love. Even said in that low baritone voice. Love, right. L-O-V-E, love. I mean, love, we all know about love, right? Yeah, love has been so very prominent in human history. Love is a prominent theme in literature, in theater, at Broadway, especially in movies. It's all about love. What's the greatest love story you've ever read about or heard about? The greatest love story. Romeo and Juliet, Lancelot and Guinevere, The Princess Bride, Charlie Brown and the little redhead girl, huh? Jim and Pam from The Office, anybody? Yeah. Han Solo, Princess Leia. Come on, name me some. What's the greatest love story you think you've ever heard? Okay. He's spiritual. Yes, that's it. Who? Nobody? No one's heard of any great love stories? All right, Monica and Chandler, there we go. Yes, that actually was one of the top 50 TV couples. So congratulations. Yeah. Okay, yes, you spiritual ones. Come on, Dylan. Jack and Rose, yeah, oh, that's good. Yeah, we could probably type one in the comment. What'd you say? Yeah, Romeo and Juliet, a second there. Okay, well, that's what my next thing is. It's, you probably maybe think that you have the greatest love story that's ever been recorded in the history of mankind, right? Everybody loves a good love story, right? Everyone loves a good love story. I mean, if I asked everyone to raise their hand if you loved a good love story, even men would shyly raise their hand, okay? Men may play like we don't, especially like we don't like chick flicks and stuff like that, but deep down inside we do. We do, right, guys? Most women are like, I knew it, because I keep finding those Kleenex stuffed in the couch cushions when we watch my favorite movie. Yeah, everyone loves a good love story, you know? Everyone loves a good love story. Kind of like, you know, Taylor Swift's the song Love Story was just re-released this week, and you know, and that's that's part of life. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, being that it's Valentine's Day. I want to talk about a love story. A love story. And I know there's some of you that probably, I mean, you don't care for Valentine's Day. You could take it or leave it. Maybe you think it's a big scam. It's just to get our money and to, you know, make us spend even more. You know, a local radio DJ, I heard just this Friday, said that the average person, most people will spend an average of $160 on someone for Valentine's Day, you know? How are you measuring up? Here's a little three chocolate heart, you know, got it for a buck at Kroger. Yes, that's it. Listen, no matter if you love Valentine's Day or you can't stand it, I want to talk about this love story that we are all a part of. And you may already say, oh, 1 Corinthians 13, I already know it, Greg. I've heard this all before. But listen, this is something that we just can't hear enough of. This is something that we need to hear over and over and over and over. You know, I could counsel couple after couple after couple after couple, and I guarantee you I won't ever have anybody in my office that will say, they just keep telling me they love me so much, I wish they would just shut up. I've never ran across that couple or anybody in a marriage or together, like, and I probably will never. Most husbands and wives or men and women that are boyfriend or girlfriend or engaged couples, they want to hear these words over and over and over again. I love you. They can't hear it enough. Am I right? Married couples, do you agree? Maybe you don't want to agree because, you know, your spouse is sitting next to you. Maybe hit them in the elbow. So this message today, it's something that we need to hear and be reminded of a lot. It's a love story that we are all a part of. Do you guys realize online here today that we are in the grandest love story of all time? The greatest love story that's ever been told. We are an active part of it, and it's still being written. It's still being played out, even before our own eyes and in our very own lives. But this love story is a different love story, a different type of love story than we normally typically think of. Look at the Apostle Paul's writings. Just one verse this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, the very last verse of this chapter. The Apostle Paul writes, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, if you can remember back to about the last quarter of 2020, I was speaking out of the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians, And right away at the beginning of this New Testament book, these three words come up in Paul's writing, faith, hope, and love. And I mentioned that they are called the Pauline triad because the Apostle Paul mentioned them quite a few times in the writing of his letters. And these three words are very important to the Apostle Paul, and he desired that his readers understood their importance. I mean, faith. That's a very important thing, right? Isn't faith important? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 mentions that we cannot even please God without faith. Without faith, you can't even please God. Hope is a very important word, right? How many would agree that hope is important? Yes, we need to have the hope of Christ to help us every day. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 71, verse 14, but I will hope continually and will praise you, Lord, yet more and more. And the psalmist is like, I'm going to continue in hope. I'm always going to be hoping. Faith is important. Hope is important. But the Apostle Paul said that love was the greatest. Love was the greatest of these words that form this triad. The word love that's used in our text, it's greater than hope and faith. I mean, it's used so much just in these 13 verses in this book of 1 Corinthians. It's used 9 times in 13 verses. That's how important love is to the Apostle Paul. He's trying to get that across. It's like, here is the love chapter in the New Testament, and love is mentioned 9 times in 13 verses. And Paul says it's the greatest. As a matter of fact, it's so important that a few verses up, he's like, where there are prophecies and knowledge, these great things, you know, that blow people away. Knowledge and prophecies and tongues, mysteries, things that make us go, wow. It's like all that's going to fade away. All that's going to go away. But love, the greatest thing, is going to last. But this love, and it's every instance here in 1 Corinthians 13 where the Apostle Paul writes all 9 times, it's not a Valentine's Day type of love. It's not the romantic type of love that's defined by the Greek word eros. No, it's the Greek word agape. And some of you have done the Greek studies on the word love, okay? But Paul's using the Greek word agape here, and this type of love is all about benevolence and charity. Now, some of you might have a Bible translation that uses the term charity in this chapter instead of love, because that's kind of at the heart of what this usage of love is about, especially when these translators were translating the Bible hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But that word charity is kind of changed today, okay? I mean, today from like, you know, when they translated the King James Version of the Bible back in the 1700s, charity was had a different context and meaning than it does today. Typically, today when we hear the word charity, you know, we think of giving someone something, giving someone some money, or giving some money to some organization, right? You know, have charity workers. It's a good charity. I'm going to give it to a good cause. You know, how much did you give to the Salvation Army, you know, this past Christmas when they rang the bells, you know, giving to that charity, you know? Hey, we're just a charity organization looking to help out the poor and the needy. Can you give? Can you help? Can you show some charity? Okay. I mean, sometimes charity today is more like an impulse action based on a perceived pressure. We give to charity because there's a drive or there's a push or it's an announcement, you know, that there's something that's a need. The recent coat drive that we did with Isaiah House, we put it out there, we need coats. Many of you brought coats and stuff in, right? That was charity. Our book drive we did for the missionaries overseas. The beautiful feet that we've often done. That's, you know, you bring in shoes in that charitable kind of way. There's toys for tots. I just saw that they're doing a Stuff the Patrol Car on Valentine's Day for, you know, charity for pets and things like that. And these kinds of things are good. Please don't misunderstand me. They're great. They're very valuable and they're absolutely needed. But often without that push or drive or the collection, that's not really charity anymore. So see how that word is kind of taken on a different meaning. Now, I know we'll clean out a closet or clean out a room, and we're like, I'm going to donate that to St. Vincent de Paul or some other charitable, benevolent organization. But that's typically just maybe once or twice a year. Once or twice every 5 years for some of us, maybe, that like to hold on to things for a long time. Without that drive, without that push, without that, you know, none of us are like, man, I wake up today, I want to give to a charity. We don't really wake up like that a lot. So today the word charity is used more in the sense of that it's giving to, you know, by having pity on the poor and the needy. more than something prompted by love. I mean, listen to this phrase that, you know, we commonly associate with charity now. It's a phrase that people will use, and even Cousin Eddie used it when Clark offered to help out and buy Eddie's kids and his wife a good Christmas, because Eddie was out of work and out of money, and the gas money gave out in Gurney. But what did he say when Clark offered to buy them a good Christmas? He goes, "Well, Clark, I'm not one for." Yeah, you guys have seen the movie too. Yeah. "Well, Clark, I'm not one for charity. I'm not one for a handout." Family member tries to help somebody. "Well, I don't need your charity." You know. So yeah, charity is taking on a different kind of connotation. Charity is now looked at as a handout, you know, to those that are down and out, instead of a love action. Everyone say love action. Instead of a love action based on the true biblical meaning of this word. Now, the original meaning of this type of love that the Apostle Paul is writing about, it's not a handout. It's more of a giving kind of love. It's a love that gives. It's a giving love. And it goes beyond mere charity and benevolence as an impulse action or cleaning out of your closet to donate something somewhere. It's much more than that. I like how a website defines agape love, Christianity.com. Agape love is unconcerned with oneself and begins to be concerned about what's good for someone else. Agape love doesn't come from emotions, pressure, feelings, or attraction. Agape love is a choice. It comes from the will, and it requires faithfulness, commitment, and sacrifice without expecting anything in return. That's the kind of love that the Apostle Paul is writing about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and especially verse 13 in our text. That's the real beauty of the meaning behind this Greek word agape. And this love, this agape love, is the greatest thing on this planet. And I would dare say that this agape love, man, it's just awesome. It's incredible. And the beautiful part is that there is a lover behind this love. There's a lover who this love is based upon. That is the word that's used to describe God's love for us. God loves us with an agape love. God cares about our greatest good. His love for us isn't based out of emotions or feelings. Praise the Lord, right? It's not based on that, because then it would sway and it'd be high and it would be low. No, it's not based on emotions or feelings. Praise the Lord. He chose to love us, and he chooses to continue to love us. And his love is faithful, and he's committed, and he has sacrificed. And we didn't have to do anything, right, to gain his love. God loves you and me. I say it often, and it's so true, just the way we are. We come to him. Students, listen to this. We come to him just the way we are, and he loves us. Man, much like in a marriage, right? You know, one of the marriage partners had a very rough weekend. They've worked the third shift really hard all weekend, every night. They're tired. They're worn out. Bags under their eyes. Hair is a mess. They're sure not looking like they came out of a photo shoot for the front of a magazine cover. Now, does the other spouse see that and run away and, No. They will still love them because they choose to love them. How about this one? You know, the entire weekend, one of the spouses, they're sick. I'm talking about puking after puking. You puke. That's how sick the one is. They stink. They haven't bathed. They don't feel very lovely, nor do they look very lovely. But you know what the beauty is? The other spouse is committed and still loves because they have chosen to love them. They've chosen to love them. Listen, God chooses to love you and me continually. Sometimes we don't act lovely. Sometimes we don't look very lovely. Sometimes we don't spiritually smell lovely. But God still loves us with an agape love. With an agape love. I know that I personally, I don't feel lovable at times. There's often where I'm like, Lord, how can you love me? How can you love me? And there's often times where I feel like I don't measure up to God's love, but he still chooses to love me. That's agape love. This love is a part of God's character. This love flows from who God is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love, right? I mean, this kind of love is a big attribute of our God. Going back to the Pauline triad of faith, hope, and love, God doesn't have faith the way we have faith, because he doesn't have to trust in anyone or anything outside of himself. Unlike some, you know, in the faith movement teaching, they erroneously teach that God had to tap into this source of faith out there in order to create the world and to create us. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need faith, because he's the very essence of our faith. God is who we put our faith in, and he doesn't have to have faith like we do. He also doesn't have to have hope like we have hope, because he's in complete control. But he does have love, because he loves us. And as David Guzak writes, God is love and will always be love. I love that. Doesn't need faith, doesn't need hope, but he is love. God is love and will always be love. 1 John 4:8. We just read it. God is love. What a statement from the Apostle John. God is love. He's the very definition of the love we're talking about. He's the one that this definition of love, agape love, is based upon. He's the lover behind the love, as Bill DeVoe phrases it. And I love that. He's the lover behind this love. He's the source. And he loves you and me, just as we are. He loves us undeservedly, yet he graciously gives it to us. We talked about charity. Listen, the way we use the word charity, God's love is not charity. It's not like he's donating love to the poor and needy. God's not giving us a handout. It's not taking pity on us, right, and giving us a handout. No, he's given us a love action called agape. 1 John 4, verses 9 through 10. Look at this love action. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That's the biggest way that God has shown his agape love. This giving type of love. This love that gives without really expecting anything in return. He gave his one and only Son for us all. Man, what an eternal Valentine's Day. Right? Right? Look at this. Look at that. Here's our Valentine. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's love isn't conditional on our love for him. And he doesn't love us because we first loved him. The Apostle John clarifies that we just read, 1 John 4:10. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us. He loved us. And John really states it well in the 19th verse of chapter 4 in this same letter, 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. God took the initiative. God went first. He loved us first because he loves us with that agape love. Then we love. That's the very reason why we can love. Why we have this emotion, this feeling, this giving attitude is because a great God loved us first, unconditionally, undeserved, and totally unmerited. The greatest way he showed this giving type of love is that he gave his one and only son for us on the cross. That shows that sacrificial, selfless love. Gang, we're part of the greatest love story that's been ever told. And the greatest love story that will ever be told. It's not just a love story, it's the love story. So yeah, Connor, Russell, you guys were on it. You guys were on it this morning. It is the greatest love story. God loves us. He really does. He really does. He really loves you. And you guys watching online. And I pray that really sinks deep into someone's heart right now. God really loves you. I know it's said often, it's said a lot, and it's, okay, yeah, I get it. No, but do you really get it? That this great God, our Heavenly Father, loves you unconditionally, undeserved, and unmerited. Others may have let you down. Others may have hurt you. Others may have abused you. Others may have disappointed you. Their love was filled with selfishness and pride and ego. And sadly, those things even come into marital love. And we love based on selfishness, right? You know, and maybe somebody that you know, it wasn't a giving type of love. It wasn't a love that gives, and it's just left you hurt and it's left you wounded. Listen, this morning, run to the one who loves us unconditionally. Run to the one who has a love for us that gives. Run to the one who's the very source of this love. Run to the one who's the lover behind this love. That's, we got to run to him. That's kind of what Christy was saying this morning in our song. Because he'll heal our emotions. He will heal our hurts. He will heal our wounds, and we can count on his love. It's agape love. It's a love that gives and gives and gives and gives. We run to our Heavenly Father. He'll lift us up in his arms. He'll carry us. He'll give us all that he has. All that he has. Not in the way of charity, you know. He'll give us all that he has in the form of agape love. That gives and gives and gives. Philippians 4:19, the Apostle Paul writes, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Peter writes in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. What do you have need of? God will give it to you according to his will. He'll make sure you're okay. He'll pick you up. He will carry you. Because God gave us his son. And Jesus gave us his life. Jesus said in John 15, verses 12 through 13, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love, this is the agape he's talking about. It's the Greek word agape here. Greater agape love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus laid down his life for us. That's the biggest example of agape love. And a love that gives. A giving type of love. What a love story that we're a part of. What a love story. You may never have pictured yourself in the grandest love story of all time. Yeah, you hear of Romeo and Juliet, Han and Leah. You can keep on going down, right? We read about it in literature. We'll watch it in great love stories and movies, and we'll cry a little tear. I wish that was me. Your love story is greater than those because it's real. It's solid and it's lasting because you are loved by a God who knows you, who cares for you, and who loves you. The word says that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were God's enemies, he still loved us. God gave us his son and Jesus gave us his life. And this love story will be for all eternity. All eternity. In our text, the Apostle Paul said that love was the greatest, out of faith, hope, and love. And this agape love from God, it's going to last for all eternity. Look, we won't need faith when we're with the one who loves us. We won't need faith anymore. We will be able to see Jesus face to face, gang. So we won't need faith because we'll be there, right? We won't need hope anymore because we will have finally obtained what we have been hoping for. But love, we will be with the one who loves us and the one who is love. We will be with God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God will continue to love us for all of eternity. All of eternity. I mean, what a love story that we're part of. It's like they say, you know, a true love story will never end. Praise the Lord, it's not, right? It's not going to end. It's going to last for eternity. But due to his love, listen, there's a call to action. There's a charge for us here on this earth. While we're on this journey, we have a charge and a commission. 1 John 4:11. John the Apostle writes, beloved, if God so loved us, and we've already made it clear through Scripture that he does, then we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. And remember 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Many of you know the scripture, but Jesus said it in John 13:35, that the one indicating factor that people would know that we are his disciples is how we love, how we show love one for another, how we show this agape love that's just like God. How are you showing this agape love? How are you doing on your side of the love story? Are you loving in the form of a giving love or a love that gives? It can be very difficult in this very hyper divisive world right now. The cancel culture left and right. But it's still our call. It's still our commission. I mean, we've been shown the greatest love. We've been given the greatest love. We're part of the greatest love story ever told. So let's love. Because he loved us. He showed us agape love. Now he calls us to show agape love. So it's a vertical and horizontal thing, gang. And when we do, man, we are joining in that greatest love story. The greatest love story. He loved us. Let's love. Musicians, if you'll come forward. And we're going to take communion here. And the communion service, I mean, it's a great reminder and it's a great way of remembering and celebrating this love. Man, it encourages me. It encourages me a great deal to know that God loves me in a way that's not just because he has pity on me or he feels sorry for me. No, he loves me because I'm his. I'm personally his child. And man, when I fail, when I mess up, when I let him down, when I stink spiritually, he still loves me with his agape love. And he has me in his hands. And it's the same for all of you who call on Jesus as Lord. And if you're here this morning or you're watching and you've not made Christ your Lord and your Savior, he still loves you. He wants you. He desires you. He wants that relationship with you. You've not done too much wrong. You've not done too many egregious things that God's going to turn away from you and have no part. No, he beckons you. He loves you so you can love. Call on him today. Say, Lord, I need that love. I need you, Jesus. Confess Christ as your Lord. Ask forgiveness for sin, for lifestyles, for habits, for things that go against his word. Believe on the cross that Christ died. 3 days later was raised up from the grave so that we could have eternal life. Believe on Jesus and accept God's love for you. Accept that agape love. He's the lover behind the love. Accept what Jesus did for us on the cross. Show him the greatest type of love. He laid his life down for us. That's why we're about to commemorate and celebrate the shed blood of Jesus. The pierced body of Jesus. How appropriate is that we get to participate in communion on Valentine's Day when we have the greatest love that's ever been shown and given. This morning, if you want to come and get a communion element, you can. If you want to just one member of the family come up and get as many elements as you need. And as we take communion this morning, please know he loves you. If you're preparing communion at home, especially for those of you, you've been to church all your life. You've heard the message of God's love over and over and over and over again. Listen to him tell you again how much I love you, the Lord says. Let it mean something new to you. Let it mean something true to you this morning. Realize you are a part of the greatest love story ever. Ever. In the history of mankind. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, forgive us for sin. Lord, help us. Lord, will our Lord prepare our hearts to celebrate and remember what you did for us, Jesus. Lord, if there's someone that's here this morning or watching online and they've not made you their Lord or their Savior, I pray that right now, Lord, they would just bow before you in their spirit, call upon you, Jesus. They would say a prayer like, wash me of my sins. Cleanse me, Lord. I believe in you. I believe you died for me and rose from the grave. I want that love in my heart and in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:18 that Christ also suffered once for sins. He was the righteous one and he suffered for the unrighteous that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh but made alive in the spirit. That's how much God loves us. That's how much Jesus loves us. When he ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, to walk with us, to teach us, to help us, to change us, to convict us. Help us today, Lord. On this Valentine's Day, 2021, let us realize the great love that you have for us. And because of you, we're part of the greatest love story ever. And with that knowledge, Lord, convict us, Holy Spirit. Help us to love others with this same agape love. Change us. Help us, Lord. Because we love because you loved us first, Lord. Let them know us by our love. Agape love. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 26 records, now as they were eating, this is Jesus and his disciples, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. You see how much he loves you? Do you know how much he loves you? And he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Picture Jesus right now telling you, hey, I love you. I love you. Do you realize how much he loves you? How many times have you let him down? How many times have you rejected him, turned away from him, not listened to him? He still loves you. He calls us upward to him. Jesus loves you. God himself, our Heavenly Father, loves us with an agape love. Thank you, Lord.